Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bav Mitzia in the second parak of the second Mishnah. After discussing Eilu Mitziot Shelo, now Ve'elu Chayav L'Achriz, and again it's a question, which things that you find are you obligated to take and announce and declare and try to identify the owner and thus may not keep. And this is all set up in parallel with the first Mishnah. Matzah perot bikli, if you found perot in a vessel, o kli kamochu, or the vessel itself. Ma'ot bikis, you found money in a pouch, o kis kamochu, or pouch as it is. Tzvurei perot, tzvurei ma'ot, or piles or heaps of perot, or heaps of money, which may indicate that you found an amount of heaps, and somebody's going to identify the amounts. We'll see that in the Gemara. Or shloshamat peot zel gavzeh, three coins that are piled one on top of another, and we'll see what kind of figure that has to be in. Krichot b'shut ha'achid, again, we had this discussion in the earlier sugya. If you find sheaves, small sheaves, even in b'shut ha'achid, but even if they are small sheaves, kikarot shabal abayit, or homemade bread as opposed to baker's bread, gizei tzemer l'kuchin beit ha'uman, or strips of wool that are brought from the artisan's house, so they have a unique style to them, chadei yayin v'chadei shemen, or you have barrels of wine or barrels of oil, then hare elu chayav lachriz. These are things that you must announce. All right. Tama, the matzah perot b'kli. Going back to the first item in the Mishnah, the first four items in the Mishnah, you found fruit in a kli. So it's only if it's in the kli, mot b'kis, or money in the pouch. Ha kli ulefanav perot, but if you found a kli and there was fruit in front of it, and circumstances would militate that the perot had fallen out of the kli, or kis ulefanav ma'ot, same thing with money, hare elu shalo, you get to keep it. Now, Tanina Lahadatana Rabbanan, we have a brighter that supports that. Matzakli, Ufanam Perot, Kisufanam Maot, Arelu Shalo. There we go. But the rest of it goes in an interesting direction. Miksatan, Miklin, Satan, Algave Karka. Let's say you found a basket. Some of the fruit was in the basket. Some of it was on the ground. Miksatan, Miksatan, Algave Karka. Some of the money was in the pouch. Some of it was on the ground. Chayav Lachriz. Then you really do have to announce it. If somebody can bring a siman, then it's theirs. However, and the implication is all of it's theirs, including the stuff that was outside. Or Aminu, here's the challenge. Matzah davar she'en bo siman, mitzah davar she'esh bo siman. Just as a generic, you found something without a siman, but it's right next to something with a siman. Chayav lachriz, you have to announce it. Now what happens? Bab al siman talon shalo. Let's say the guy who could identify, for instance, the basket or the pouch, and took his stuff. Zachah halov davar she'en bo siman. You, the finder, get to keep the other stuff. So that's the question, is when you find stuff, some in the basket, some outside of the basket, and your machriz, do you then give it all up, or only the stuff in the basket? Contradiction. Amar Rav Zvid, lo kash. Rav Zvid solves the contradiction. Ha bekuva v'kitna. That's talking about a cask and some flax, and the flax was outside of the cask. And so therefore, if the flax had really come from the cask, some would have been left inside. Ha betzana operi. Here, the other one is a basket and fruit. If you have a basket and fruit, it's certainly reasonable that it all fell out of the basket, and therefore it would all go to the claimant. Our Papa Mar Havahabit Sano Peri said both could be talking about a basket and a perot. Vokasha had ishtayer bamidi, had lo ishtayer bamidi. If there's any fruit in the basket, the circumstances indicate that all the fruit came from the basket. But if the basket's empty and the fruit's outside, then they're separate. Vibayte mahavahad lo ishtayer bamidi. You could say that both brighta. Both brightot are talking about a case where nothing was left in the basket. Velokasha, hadi mahadri ape legabi pere. If the fruit is facing towards the basket, or the opening of the basket's facing the fruit, then the circumstances indicate, context indicates that it came from there. Hadalah mahadri ape legabi pere. And if it's not facing that way, then not. Or you could say in both cases the basket's facing the fruit. Velokasha, hadi la ugnin latsana. If the basket has a rim, then the fruit could not have all come out, so if the fruit's all out, it came from somewhere else. But if there is no rim, and it's just an open basket, then it's certainly possible that it all fell out, and since it's facing in that direction, it all goes to the claimant who can identify the basket. Now, the other next line in the Mishnah was Tzvurei Perot to Tzvurei Maot. And that sounds like it's heaps, and what the person is coming identifying and saying, I have five heaps. I have five heaps of fruit or of money. Shaman minyan, minyan have a siman. So you can prove from here that a minyan is a siman because the guy indicates the number. And that's something Rav Sheshet already solved, if you recall, but it's still under discussion. So tani tzvur perot. Actually, you should read the Mishnah not as tzvure perot, but tzibur perot, meaning a pile, a heap. And he has to identify where the heap was located. Shamet mina makom hale siman. So if that's the case, then location is a siman. So no, tani tzvorei perot, meaning that it's unclear whether or not the Mishnah says tzibur perot or tzvorei perot. Is it heaps, in which case the fellow is identifying the number, or is it one heap and the fellow is identifying the location? Because he has to identify something. Otherwise, there's nothing in machris. And the answer is that it has to be one or the other, but we can't figure out which one it is. Okay, Shloshamet Peot Zel Gavzeh. The next line in the Mishnah, which is the beginning of our Amud, says that if you have three coins, one on top of the other. Amar B'Yitzchak Migdolah. It's cute that he's called B'Yitzchak Migdolah. V'hu Shasuyin K'Migdolin. It has to be, these coins have to be placed like a pyramid. We'll see how that'll work, because we assume here three coins are the same size, but they're not. Tanina Me'achim Atzama Unufuzarot. If you find money that's dispersed, back in our first Mishnah, Re'elu Shiloh. Asuyin K'Migdolim, if they're piled like a pyramid, then Chayav Lachriz, which of course suffers from the implicated middle. Ve'elon Asuyin K'Migdolim, Shloshan Beinza Agavizet. What's Migdolim? Three on top of another. Good, so that supports Rabbi Yitzchak, who says three on top of another is Chayav Lachriz, and has to be as a Migdal. But Hagufakasha, we now have the problem. Amart Matzamot Mufuzarot Re'elu Shiloh, the Reisha said that if you found dispersed money, it's yours. What's the implication? So if they are not spread out, but they're piled on top of another in sort of a willy-nilly pile, you have to be machriz. What is the answer? Only if it's pyramid do you have to be machriz. So if they're just overlapping and kind of a messy pile, then you could keep them. So the implicated middle is a contradiction. Tana kol shein asuyin k'migdalin fuzarot kari lehu. The answer is that the Tana considers anything that's not piled like a pyramid to be considered dispersed. So even if it's just a pile that's overlapping, etc., that's not called piled. Okay, Amar Rav Chanina lo shanu ela shel shlosha melachim. Rav Chanina first said something here, which itself doesn't make sense. We're gonna fix it. He says that this rule only applies if there's three different kings, meaning three different mints. If it's all one king, then you don't have to be machriz. So wait, if it's piled like a pyramid, even if it's one king, what do I care if the image is the same or not? It clearly was piled deliberately, and the fellow meant to keep it there. Then you have to be machriz. If it's not piled that way, even if it's three different coins, you still don't have to be machriz. This is how we should read Rabbi Chanina. It's only true if it could be one mint, but it has to be like three different coins, meaning there has to be three different sizes. So what is migdalim? So now that we know that it's three different sizes, as if it's three different mints, Revicha Tato, the big one is on the bottom, Umitsiya Ilave, and the middle one on top, Vizuta Ilave Mitsiya, and the little one's on top of the middle one. Damrinan, and what do we conclude from that? Anuchi Anchinu, the fellow actually left it there, they didn't fall. Aval Shemelech Achad, meaning, the Kuluki Adarininu, if they are one king, meaning they're all one, the same coin at the same size, Avgad Damanchi Adari, even though they're piled, Hare Elu Shalom, you keep it. Why? Amar Itramu Yitrami, because I can assume that perhaps they just happen to fall that way. Uvahadi Adarina, full, they all fell together. That's Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina says that the only way that three coins have to be returned is if they're three different sizes and they're piled in a telescoping manner. Even if it's one king, meaning it's one size, you're still machriz. So now, my machriz, what is it that you announce? Your machriz minyan. So meaning, you say, I found three coins, and now you have to identify them. So my ir yatlata, afilu treinami. If you can announce that, then why do you need three? You could even announce two. So Ravina tiva machriz. No, what you announce is, I found coin. So therefore, the person has to then come and provide the number. But Rabbi Yirmiyah then asked, Kashir Mahu, what if they're in a circle, like a bracelet? Kashura Mahu, Kashir and Kashura is a play on words. Kashura meaning, what if they're in a row? Kachatsuva Mahu, what if they're like in a triangle fashion? Kasulama, what if they're staggered like a ladder? So Pshot Miachara, we can answer only one of these questions. If you could stick a little chip or a little like a toothpick in between them and lift them all up at one shot, chayav lachriz. That's like a staggered thing. So the staggered, we know, chayav lachriz. So it's not only a pyramid pile. There are other deliberate kind of design piles that you would have to be machriz, at least the latter. Bari Ravashi then asked, ka'avne beit kulis mahu. Ka'avne beit kulis is evidently related to mercury, or markulis. If they have rocks that are set up like beit kulis, and we'll find out what that pattern is, do you have to machris? Toshma, the tanya matzah mountain fuzarot, harelu shalot. Kavne bet kulis chayav lachris. You see, you have to machris. Then I've nebid kulis. What does that look like? Achat mikan, rachat mikan, rachat al gavayan. So you have one on the ground, one next to it, and one on top of the two of them, like an H, like a chet, actually. Tad rabbanan, amotzei sala bashuk. Let's say you found a coin in the shuk. Umetzaocha verova marshalihu. And another fellow came and found it and said, meaning a friend found you, and said, oh, that's my coin. Chadashahi, and I identified it's a new coin, Nironiti, it's a coin with Nero on it. Shemalach Ploni, a particular Malach, lo amar klum. That means nothing. Even though he can properly identify. In other words, he could tell you the serial number on the bill. Lo ela afilu shmo katuv alei, even if his name was written on it, lo amar klum. Why? In other words, we know he's identifying that coin and that he had the coin before. But lafisha ain siman amatbea. A matbea can never have a siman. Why? Maybe he just spent it. He went into the store, he bought something with a coin, the store owner dropped it, and now he's claiming it to try to get it back. The fact that he can identify it doesn't tell us that it's his. Okay, the next Mishnah, the beginning of Mishnah Gimel. Now we're going to deal with makom, and things that really you're not supposed to touch because they clearly were put there intentionally by the owner and leave them alone. Matzah achar hagapa o achar hagader, gozalot mekusharin. Let's say you found in back of a fence or a wall some pigeons that were tied down or birds that were tied down. O bishvilin shebasadot. You found them on paths out in the field. Harizalo yigabayin. You're not allowed to touch them. They were put there deliberately by the owner. It's not a mitziah. Matzah kli ba'ashpa. This we dealt with in the earlier sugya. Let's say you found a vessel that was in the dung heap. Im mechusa lo yigabo. If mechuseh, if the kli is covered up and buried, you don't touch it. But if it's uncovered, no tell machriz. You take it, but you have to be machriz. Okay, so we'll see about this. My tama, why do we think that we find these birds there, you can't touch them? Damrin and honey inishatsniyu. Somebody put them there. And if you take them, the guy has no simon. Because his only simon is that they were tied down there. So if you take them, then he got no simon. Leave him until the owner comes and takes them. Why can't you take them? And the knot, because you're going to take them with their rope that they're tied with, the knot that ties to them is the simon. And this we had earlier a discussion in the first sugi about kesher. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, sorry, in the end of the first parak, they're tied on their wings, they're tied in the way that everybody else ties, so that's not a simon. Maybe the location where they're tied to is a simon. They're walking around. If they're walking around, then they could have come from anywhere. You're about to take them. Why can't you touch them? So the reality is, you could say, they may have come from elsewhere. They may have been put there deliberately. Therefore, you have a case of safek hinuach, meaning that you have a possibility that somebody put them there deliberately. What did Rav say about that? Call safek kinuach. What's the halacha when you see something? It might have been deliberately left or it might have been dropped. You do not take it. But if you did take it, you keep it. Okay. Matzah kli ba'ashpa mechuseh lo yigabo meguleh notelu machriz. So the next line in the Mishnah. The next line in the Mishnah is that if you found a kli in the dung heap, if it's covered up, then you don't touch it. If it's not covered, if it's uncovered, you take it, but you're machris. Or minu matzah kli tamun ba'ashpa. Here's a brayta that says that if you found a kli buried in the ashpa, atelu machris. Shkenderach ashpa lepanot, because a dung pile is always moved. So if a guy found it there, you can't leave it there. It's going to become hefker. So how do we reconcile this? Amar zvid lokasha haba kube v'kasi. The answer of Zvid gives is very much like his answer earlier, in which he reconciles the contradiction by using two different things that you're finding. He says, when you find big things like a cask or like cups or things like that, then you leave them there. The guy was clearly deliberately put in there. But when you find little knives or tools that the person put in there, they're going to be sent away, and therefore you have to take them in Machris. He says, no, they're all big stuff. It depends. If it's a dung pile that's going to be moved, then you take it. If it's one that's not going to be moved, then you leave it alone. Ashbasri, Panot, what are you talking about? It's one that's regularly moved, like removed every day or every week. Aveda Midati. If the guy dropped it there, then it's Aveda Midati. You should be able to take it. Why do you say Machris? Ashba Shein Asuli Panot. Both of them are Ashba that's not normally moved. That's why we have to assume the guy buried it there to keep it. But in this case, suddenly, at the last minute, they decided to move this one. And so now, you have the problem that if you don't take it, enter Machris, it's going to go get destroyed or get lost. So that's why I have to take it. That's, according to our Papa, we understand why the Lashon of the Mishnah is, because that's what happens. You take Ashba and you move it. Why does it say that? What it means now is not that the dung heap gets moved, but rather that people generally will move out kelim tanim, little vessels like the knives that he talked about, from the that vessels will come out from the house into the ashba without people knowing it. So therefore, in that case, you do take it and you are machris. Okay, we'll hold off here and pick up from the rest of Mishnah Gimel on Daf Chaf Hey Amud Bet, and in the next podcast, Mitzvah Hashem, go to the Mishnah at the on Chaf Vav Amud Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.